When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to the Deeply Graphic Design Cast, the show about all things design, from the creative side to the business side and all points in between. Follow the show on Twitter at Wes McDowell. Want the gang to answer your question on an upcoming episode? Send in your listener question to questions@thedeependesign.com or via Twitter using hashtag DGDC. Here are your hosts.
Wes McDowell in Chicago.
Mikhail Morrison in Seattle.
Nick Longo in Los Angeles.
All right. Back again, back together again, and want to thank everybody for continuing to listen. We're almost into 2018, which is amazing, seeing how we started this in like 2011.
Yeah.
Like, crazy, like if you were to ask me, I'd say like, yeah, I've been doing it 3 years or something, but it's like, it's been quite a bit longer than that. So I can't believe it. Yeah. But we're plugging along and we keep getting new listeners. So if you're new, we want to thank you for jumping on. And for old listeners, thank you for the continued support. We love those 5-star reviews on iTunes and all that good stuff. So thank you that in advance. And thanks to everybody who's already done it. And before we get started, I want to do a little call for designers out there. We don't do this very often, but I'm reaching a point where I'm going to need some good recommendations for certain clients. So what I'm looking for specifically are web designers and developers who are comfortable using either Beaver Builder or, you know, WordPress templates and lightly customizing them for those kinds of clients that I have that we're not going to where I wouldn't recommend a whole custom WordPress site, but if you have a great skill in just taking a few theme suggestions and taking a creative brief and a few design inspirations and putting it all together, starting with a theme, I want to know you. So I would like you to email me. It's wes@thedeependesign.com. And email in the subject line, or put in the subject line rather, design support. It's important you do that so I know how to route these things. And I want you to include your typical price range and a link to similar projects that you've completed about this. So I'm looking forward to seeing everybody's stuff, and I'll get back to you if I can use you. So thanks a lot for that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I already sent my email off to you.
Nice. It was a roundabout way of asking for your help, Nick.
I know you like my web skills. I know.
I didn't want to come right out and ask, so.
I know that, the WordPress thing. I know that.
Oh, yeah. Nick and WordPress go together like peas and carrots.
Exactly. So
what are you guys up to? That's the real question.
God, are you guys experiencing the kind of the year-end wind down a little bit? Like, everybody seems to be, there was a big push like end of November, and now it just seems like everyone's coasting a little bit.
Yeah,
which
I won't complain.
Not for
not
me.
Complaining.
Yeah, I just started a brand new client, but that's not the most of it. It's that shift that I was just talking about. I'm not really going to get into what it all is, but there's a lot of stuff that I'm working on within the business. Not necessarily client stuff, and there's a lot to do. Like, I need to be ready before the new year, and I feel like I'm behind already.
Yeah, and I think with having this little time, it's funny how the first thing that comes into mind is, am I doing the things that I wanted to say I was going to do when I had a little downtime?
Yeah.
You know? And I've got a list, but damn, it's like, you just want to be able to, like, I need to be free of some design for at least a week or so, just to kind of, you know, it's that clear your head kind of thing and then get back into it. So I'm taking full advantage of it. Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
It's hard to toggle the like lists. Like, our family just keeps growing. Our immediate family just keeps growing. So it's just adding to the tasks. You know what I mean? To get out and run the errands, to go to the proper places or to get.
Oh,
yeah.
God,
so it's nice when it starts to slow down a little bit this time of year for that reason, just because it adds to the day.
I know. It's great when you can bolt out at like 7:30 in the morning and get like three things done, be back by like 9, and you're like, okay, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I could do that. Like, I know a lot. I remember when you got the full-time gig and everything, it's tough to squeeze in that extra moment. So I'm going to take advantage of it. I know. We got just a few, 2 weeks left? God dang.
Good news and bad news for me on that front. Like, I've been able to get started really early in the morning, but that's only because I threw my back out at the gym the other day, which I do like twice a year. So I'm like not going to the gym in the morning. It sucks for usually about a week, but I've been able to get up and get right to work. So
good.
Yeah. Making a lemonade out of lemons, I suppose. But
good.
So before we get on with the topic for today, let's give some love to Skillshare, baby. Skillshare is, it's basically, if you're listening to the show right now, you're trying to improve your design skills, your design business skills, and what better match between our show and that than Skillshare. You can go and you can learn something from start to finish. They really run the gamut of very specific little things you can learn in a short amount of time. And then also like really long in-depth courses over like 7 or 8 hours where you really learn something. Like there was a cool Facebook ads course where that's like 7 hours long and you're learning the whole thing. So highly recommend Skillshare. They've got 3 million members and more than 17,000 classes in a bunch of categories. You can take classes in things like graphic design, digital illustration, photography, social media marketing, freelance business, all the things that are important to us as design professionals. And the classes are taught by design professionals and industry experts, professionals. You're learning from the best. That's what we like to do around here.
Makes a big difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not learn from the 14-year-olds in their mom's basement on YouTube anymore. We've graduated beyond that. So right off the bat, what I'm seeing here, like, there's a few courses that caught my eye. One is how to price projects as a freelancer, which is kind of like perfect for going along with this show. And the other one, kind of more the creative side, creating a compelling mood board, which for a lot of people is their first step when they're doing a design project. So and I think a lot of people might be lost. Like, how exactly do I do that? How do I make it tell a story? Because you got to tell a story. We all know that. And Skillshare is giving our listeners a 1 month free trial of unlimited access to over 17,000 classes. Just go to skillshare.com/graphic to start your free month today. Again, that's skillshare.com/graphic. And happy holidays from us to you. All right. Cool. So being it's the end of the year, it's almost 2018. We want to talk all about those graphic design trends that we've been seeing building up momentum this year that are going to really kind of overtake next year. So
looking into the crystal ball a little
bit. Exactly. So yeah, and whenever we do an episode like this, it's important to point out, like, we're not necessarily saying these are amazing trends. These are trends we love. These are just trends that we're seeing a lot of and that are catching on and getting momentum.
And good to know too, because like it's in any area where you're at, I always think that like sometimes just having a good capture of what's happening, you might not be implementing some of these, but one-on-one with a client, you might be able to kind of bring something up from something you know. So it's just good to be educated. I find like if you could just drop a few things like this while you're talking to people, you sound a little bit more professional.
Exactly. You look like you're on the vanguard of making the trends rather than just following them. So.
Exactly. Yeah. That's going to be our goal for next year is the trends we've made.
I wish I could. Yeah. Most of mine are just in the world of fashion. I'm a snappy dresser.
There you go.
But which translates perfectly to podcasting. So anyway, Nick, you're the overachiever here. So we've been talking back and forth on email, and Nick has really gone above and beyond here, and he's created a downloadable that'll go along with this episode. So if you go to the show page, you'll be able to download it.
Who's the nerd on the show now?
Yeah, Nick. Nerd alert.
I'm sorry.
He's pushing his glasses back as we speak.
Wait, let me tape them. I think I just broke them, so I might put a little piece of tape on them. I find slides. I tell you, being a teacher, the slides are the way to communicate. You know, I do this like on a daily basis, but I also wanted it because, you know, we talked about it earlier, and these trends specifically in design are things that are very subjective because these aren't rules. These aren't things to say, try immediately, but they're really like observations of what's shifting in design. So mine are pretty visual, and I wanted to show examples because these are stuff that I've opened up in discussions with my students, and it does open a really good dialogue as to why is this happening and what can you do with it. So it's not like just copying it. It's more about how do I implement this and how's it going to affect me in the next year or two, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are definitely one of those, these are those episode types where it does get a little tricky to be exclusively audio.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I get it. Should I start with my first one here?
Just close your eyes as you listen. unless you're driving.
Well, if you're driving, yeah, don't. For that.
Terrible.
Don't be like that. Did you see that guy in the news that was like pulled over because he had an iPad and a phone like duct taped to a steering wheel?
I did not see that.
Oh my gosh.
But even better than that, did you see the guy, like, he was somewhere on the East Coast who literally had the most ridiculous Griswold family Christmas tree strapped to the top of his car? It was covering the front, the back, and the sides. And he got pulled.
No way to know where he's going.
I mean, my Lord.
Wow.
Oh, that's crazy. So yeah, if you're driving, get this when you get home. But if you are sitting by your desk, pull up this and let's read along. So I love this first one because for me, one of my biggest complaints over the last few years is it seemed like everybody was going to these very familiar, very safe sans serif fonts for a lot of their branding. And there was even a great show of it was like Google, Facebook, Twitter, Lenovo. It went through about 6 or 7 rebrands of 2016, and they looked identical. They stripped themselves from these past brands that had personality and fonts that had, you know, a little bit of character. And all of a sudden, we saw this huge spike in everybody just going to the same lowercase Futura, you know, being used for everything. So this first shift, this first trend is that I even checked with the Graphic Design Association of America, and yes, serif fonts are back.
Yay, you heard it here first.
I don't know if you guys got the notification. Yeah. I got it like an Amber Alert the other day.
To recap, crack is whack, and serifs are back.
So back. Right. Thank you, Whitney. Thank you, Whitney. I have been waiting for this. I've been seeing this. And what's neat is they're very subtle. It's not like someone saying, okay, let's go crazy with them. But after years of these brands being so just safe and not looking like each other, I feel like this pendulum swing, like we always talk about, is coming back to this point where we can play a little bit with fonts that have serifs and they can be used just as strong and just as effectively, but they don't strip out personality. They actually add it in some way, you know? Mm. And I've got to say one of the best examples, it's probably being put on a lot of people's favorite rebrand of the past few months, was the latest that Chobani did, the yogurt company. Mm-hmm. And you can click on the link and see from this document a really great case study of showing how they what they did. And, you know, they had a very all caps blocky sans serif font, and they switched to upper lowercase. It's very, to me, I call it like nostalgic. It has like a throwback to maybe like the late 70s.
Yeah, that's
early
what I was
80s
thinking,
right? You know, like, so it's like, but
it's almost like that. Go ahead. Playfair font. Is that?
Yes.
Well, not the Chobani one, but like some of these other ones that I've been seeing, it's got that real 70s kind of vibe to it, like Valley of the Dolls or whatever, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. And Chobani shows off in a great way because I think what people were fearful of is that with any fonts and serifs and all these kind of fanciness to it, in a digital world, in small screens, it's not going to be readable. And this is a perfect example how you can still be readable and have personality without stripping down to just, you know, the same Futura or Gill Sans over and over again. And they did it in a really beautiful way. It's a custom font, yet it feels very familiar. You know, it doesn't feel, it's much more friendly in a way. It's much more inviting. And they were even calling it conversational, where it kind of like, you know, here's a brand like Chobani changing overnight in such a big way. And that's a big risk, but I love it. And I've seen a lot of people comment on the fact that they love the fact that it's still bold. It's still of value, but it has some personality to it. It gives you a flair, you know?
It has warmth.
What do you guys think of it? Yeah.
Yeah. I think it it connotates warmth, I think, in a way that serifs kind of almost seem cold.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, they do. They
in
do.
A vacuum, and then serifs kind of seem like they've got more, it's a more homey feel. I would say.
Yeah. And it's almost like inviting everyone to start thinking about it. And I've even seen two students kind of take this up on this latest project they're working on. And even if just even if they're just exploring it, I think we almost ruled it out so much. You almost automatically went to these other these fonts because everyone else was doing it. And maybe that's an area of, to say that there's a trend that, you know, break a trend and do something like this. Now, this isn't revolutionary. We're going to go back to sans serif fonts again in 10 years and it'll be the rage. But two a few other great examples is the Stumptown Coffee just redid their branding. And believe it or not,
I saw that.
I don't know if you guys know. I don't know if you noticed there on the sample I'm showing there, they're actually bringing Hobo back. Hobo is a font that what like every designer says stay completely clear of, and they proudly put it as their product name, as the variety name of each coffee, and they got away with it. It works.
Interesting. It's kinda like,
you know, so take a look at that case study. One of my favorites is what Target just relaunched their entire men's line. Their own brands have been all over the place, and this was a way to not only throw back to what. I didn't know this, but Target was originally called Goodfellow and Company, and then it was changed. So their new brand is this thing called Goodfellow. Kind of competes with like a J. Crew or Banana Republic, and their font. You know, they even went back even further to very gothic, very fun serif font that has so much character. And if you're in a Target soon, pass by it and take a look. It's beautifully done, beautiful colors as well. Cool. But again, they were not afraid.
Yeah.
And then the last example was Medium. You know, Medium was this high-tech blogging site that everyone was using and only very young, you know, not even probably, what, a year to 2 years old. And they instantly swapped to this serif font because they realized it was all about the typing. It was all about, like, this is where people tell a story, you know, and write. And it felt more, they were so modern that they switched to this very serif font. And I think it's not a big deal, but it really kind of is. So this is my first one. I wanted to show you guys the sample so you can really chime in and see what you think.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes to this,
it
really works.
Yeah.
And
cool.
Did Medium ditch their mark as well, or is it just not showing it?
I believe so. I don't think it goes together anymore. The mark is now
that one
just the word.
Yeah.
You know, and I think if you click on the link there, let me take a quick look. I believe they have completely taken it out of everything else. Let's see. I'll take a quick look.
Okay.
Because I think it works as it is the mark itself. I think it would clash too if they included that modern M.
Yeah.
If
they use that same
gone.
Mark, it wouldn't work anymore. Yeah.
They use the M. They use the M from the actual font as their small icon.
Okay.
Yep. As a monogram. So look through the case. If you click on any of the links in the PDF that we're going to post, it brings you to a really great case study about the brand and what they did. So, yeah, they dropped the icon.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I like it.
I like it too.
And I know we normally run these things where we kind of go between the three of us, but I think since you've got so much good content here, Nick, let's start the show. Let's keep going with your thing. And then after we can kind of do it, because I think – the things I have to talk about, I definitely don't have as much to talk about. So, you know, let's just get the good content up front loaded.
Okay, you got it.
All right.
So let's do it. I'll go through these as quickly as the last one. The second one I'm seeing, thanks to, I think Dropbox has been the biggest example of this, what they've done in the last few weeks when they released their new branding, is this kind of daring color combinations, these color combinations that might not have been something you'd seen before. They're very uncommon, sometimes very risky, and they're appearing more and more, particularly in branding. What I love about them is it helps this brand stand out, but in some ways, it almost makes you take a second look because, like, how many times have you said, oh, I don't like that because the colors almost vibrate off each other? Mm. All of a sudden, I'm starting to see that, like, appearing more and more, which is kind of cool. Like, you're like, okay, in this digital world or on a shelf somewhere, how do you stand out? Well, maybe some of these rules that we've been using for years, the complementary colors and this idea that they have to be in harmony, what if they're disruptive and a little daring, you know?
Yeah.
So three of the examples. One was, like I said, Dropbox. And if you look through there, I think they've actually got 27 variations of their logo in different color combinations, which could be way too daring. Yeah. But I think it's worth kind of looking and going, wow, they're really trying to go after us, the creative, you know, community, because we're using Dropbox more than anybody, people like us. So they are catering it to us. They are changing their color palettes. And I was at first going, yuck, but now I kind of applaud them for being different and trying something. Closely after that, eBay kind of right on their heels had a very similar idea with their rebranding. And they're using, again, very uncommon color things. But their point was they want to stand out from Amazon more than ever. And the way to do it is by just throwing color to the wall and just playing like crazy with it, you know?
Yeah.
Their goal was to create an inclusive personality that separated them from the Amazon world. They didn't want to like lure people over. They wanted to have their own little party, you know? So again, they did a really interesting job. You can check on that. And then this third one that just came out the other day was by eBoost. You might not know that you know them, but they are almost at every little gas station counter all over the country as the little energy shot.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yes, exactly. That's M-Boost. This is eBoost. Okay. So they are a energy drink. Very well done, but a bit of, you know, needed a consistent brand look now that they have more SKUs. So if you look at the sample they show there, you might color wise, you might not think they all fit under the same brand, but it's the design and the layout that is the consistency that talks about the brand. So again, color is just being very daring. Some are gold, some are fluorescent, some are primary. And it's really unique how they're doing this. And it's made me think a lot differently about how I'm, you know, picking colors from the very beginning. I think that's one of my hardest things. I don't know about you guys, but like finding good color combinations, to me, I tend to go to a default and I want to open up that kind of color palette a little bit like these. What do you think?
No, it's super interesting. Like when I first saw this picture that you're talking about, it almost looks like kind of a student thing. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's good or bad. It's not saying student work is bad, but it doesn't look like something you would actually find on a shelf anywhere. But
you're right.
It does go to show you that things are kind of going this way, and it's kind of like, I feel like it's kind of like that Brooklyn influence or whatever, like where colors don't have to match anymore.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Can like, go together.
Like rewrite the rules, you know?
Exactly.
What's interesting is Dropbox did an interesting job where at least they're in the same hue. They're not like so far distant from each other. They kind of play in the same color wheel, but are things we would never maybe think of. So take a look at them, see what you think. I think if anything, it's just inspiring for us to kind of not go to the default color palette that's in Illustrator every time. And, you know, one thing we've been using a lot, and I get my students to use a lot too, is Capture, just the app on your phone, and just capturing, you know, natural color palettes and bringing them in. And you never know what that might spark, because we're just, you know, we're so in tune to like the same things.
Yeah.
So,
and I used for a client the other day that website, colors.com or coolers.com. It's great. Like if you have a brand color, you can put it in there, because what's happening with his stuff is we're doing these landing pages and the page was just looking very blue and white, very corporate and safe. And it's not really that kind of product. So we were trying to rethink from the ground up, like, okay, what's a good color strategy we can use here that actually like gets a little bit of attention? We wouldn't want to go this far with it, but but we plug in his logo color, his signature like blue color in there. And then we find like all these different color palettes that'll go with it. And a lot of times it's kind of clashy, but still goes together in a weird, fun way.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're more safe.
Very true.
Yeah, love it.
Yeah.
Love things like that. Because, you
will get... But you're even trying it. You're trying it, and that's the best part.
Yeah. You will get in a pigeonhole if you just use those color swatches, you know.
I know. I know. So. That's true. Hey, there's another thing cool. I don't know if you guys have looked at that. I think we might have talked about it, but in Illustrator, you can do this thing called Recolor Now, where you can take your entire, you can select 5, 6, 7 different things of multicolors and play with all the colors at once and turning this knob in Recolor. Yeah, you guys got to try it. It's pretty interesting.
I'll post you use your keyboard knob for that? that you're talking about?
When I get it, when I get it. But no, you don't even need that. It basically shows a color wheel when you, let's say you've selected nine to 10 things. Now there's even gradients, and you lock it, and then in recolor is a new tool there. You turn the wheel, and what it does is in locked together, it turns them all into these different color palettes. And it might just give you something very odd, like this trend that you might have never thought of. So it's worth a try. And I'll find the YouTube link on that, and maybe we can add it to this.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it.
So, and maybe we
it's
can
a way to get color.
Maybe we can thank that functionality for this whole trend.
Maybe that's you never
how
know.
I was born.
Exactly. All right, my third trend. So this one is a little hard to understand, but it's very simple. It's called Little Big Ideas. And it's kind of this idea that when brands relaunch or brands start or refresh or whatever they do, they might be so far all over the place that there's not one focused approach to the design that they're going to do. And what this idea is, and this shift that I've seen with specifically these two companies, is they really focused on one singular idea, and it is through and through their branding. And the idea is that it is not cluttered, there's full clarity, yet it's so distinctive because they're owning something. So this first one, and if you're not looking at this, I'll try my best to describe it. It's this company called Misfit Juicery. It's like a juicing company. But what was interesting was they make theirs from the scrap fruit vegetables that are the odd shapes and the ones that aren't so attractive. You know, the ones that are a little funky and a little weird.
They want people to that's know always, that?
Well, it's,
we only
nothing
use the
wrong
ugly
with
fruits.
It. Exactly. But look at their case study. They've convinced me. So basically they're saying all these pounds of fruit, like billions of pounds of fruits and vegetables, get thrown away because it's unsold to the U.S. market in grocery stores. They've taken it, and that's what they juice, and that's what they mix for smoothies, and that has inspired their entire branding, including their logo.
Wow.
If you look at how they did it, the I and the S, and it's called Misfit.
Well, and the name altogether.
It's perfect. And so this whole idea that it's inspired, even the logo and the way the eye is kind of, you know, it's irregular and funky, but everything in their branding revolves around this one singular idea. And it's so well done. I really urge you to look at this thing because basically they've basically told their story in everything they do, you know, and their tagline is what's on the inside that counts. And it's, you know what I mean? So it's like feed people, not trash cans. So this idea that like,
perfect.
Why? It's perfect, and we're, you know, and this is a huge trend too, this whole imperfect thing. I think if we want to talk about a bigger trend that's happening, you know, it's this whole idea that we're not all perfect thanks to social media and all this other stuff that kind of everyone only wants to highlight the best of their world, and no one has that, right? So here's this brand that's really focusing on it and making it their entire mission. So it's a little out there, but again, it's this whole idea, and the cool thing is it's a pure way to cut through and give your message without being confusing. And I think we've seen too many companies trying too many things at once. And why not really zero in on just one thing and make that the entire thing? And it could be super creative. It's not going to be bland. You know, this is definitely not a bland case study.
And they were smart by not going crazy with color. They just used black.
Yes, and they use color on all their other stuff, but their logo, I believe, is always black.
Yeah,
like as
it'd
a nice
a little too
almost...
much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So the other one you've got here is Moonpig. Can you talk about what that little big idea is?
I really love this one.
Yeah,
I'll tell you, this is interesting. They I showed this to my class too, and we were a little puzzled until we read a little bit more about them. But they're a UK-based online retailer specializing in like personal greeting cards and flowers and gifts. Their old one, they had a huge, they had a mascot, they had a pig, it was very what you would expect. They stripped it all down and just went to this typography only piece. But the idea here is that they wanted it to kind of be one simple idea that creates this whole new world of Moon Pig. And it's this idea of what life on the moon would be without the normal rules that wouldn't apply. So it's very floaty. The text moves a little bit, but the two O's in moon become the nostrils of the pig. They're almost a subliminal thing that they want to like have him in there, but he's really not. But it's this idea that it's just so simple, and it's this very like it's this perfect pink of it. You know, yeah. It's like goes with the idea. And the idea here is that it just was very smart to just stick with this one idea and say, we're going to be this. We're not going to have a mascot. We're not going to have really like taglines. But what they're going to do is they're going to play around with it. It's going to wobble. It's going to be almost floating like it's in space a little bit. And they play along with it with like, you know, it's for you. And anytime there's two O's, those two O's, they basically mess with the kerning a little bit to be a little more united. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a subliminal logo. It's the subliminal pig is still there. So it's more, you got to almost look a little bit more into the case study to see how it works. Their van says vroom with the two O's, you know, so their delivery van captures that as well. So just a unique way to say, you know what, we didn't go too far with things. We kept it to very one simple idea and it's very confident. So like, yeah, to me, that's real inspiring. I would love to try something like this and say to a client, it has everything you need, but yet it is so little. There's such a tiny little idea, and they've taken it to a big level.
This is the kind of thing that's hard to talk clients into.
Oh,
because it's so simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is where applications really shine. I think if you just showed that logo, it'd be crickets. But if you show the entire application of it, like we tell with when we were talking about logos in the last few episodes, we've talked about them. Get these applications in there and show how it's going to be used, and then you're talking about the whole system now. And the logo can be this simple. Maybe that's the bigger message of this trend, is that it's that logo can be so simple, but it's everything you do beyond that becomes your branding system. You know. So times are changing.
Love it. So now, so those Mikkel, do you want to go first or should I?
Oh, doesn't matter.
Okay.
Go for it.
Go for it, Mikkel. Ladies first.
Do you want to alternate or do you want me to do?
Yeah, just talk about all yours and then I'll do mine.
Okay. Cool? Okay. All right. So my first one is not what I read anywhere. But I'm not making this up, I swear.
That's okay if you are, though.
I'm calling this one. You're an industry professional. I'm calling this one bizarre. So, I have a few examples to discuss with respect to this one, bizarre. There's a bakery site with large macarons on models. They're the heads of models. Mm-hmm. And you know how sometimes when you flip through the Bizarre magazine, by the way, that's all fashion based, things just like are nuts. You would never see anybody walking down the street with the shit that they're wearing. So in that case, similarly, I called this bizarre because also there's this recent Subway campaign commercial. I don't know if you've seen it. It's for the limited time only Reuben sandwiches. And the Reubens are bodies.
Yes.
But it's this historical video approach, right? So bizarre, but it works. Mm-hmm. There's something catchy about it nonetheless. What's also bizarre and can become completely appealing to the eye is mixing patterns and textures like crazy. Mm-hmm. That would have been considered design conflict from before or clashing formally, but is now not as much. This won't be any news to the two of you. We absolutely loved the great speaker from Adobe Max, Jonathan Adler. He's a potter, designer, and author. He discussed in fairly awesome length a giant banana sculpture dead center of a high-end fancy hotel that was honestly seemingly indicative of a huge erect penis and totally awesome. So it's peculiar yet stunning at the same time.
Yeah.
This trend that I'm trying to grab.
I think it's a great way to call it. Yeah, I feel like what we're taking away from this whole episode is like the biggest trend is just there are no more rules.
Right. Like maybe not even that you would term edgy. It's just kind of out there, you know?
Yeah, well, like, is it almost because everything's been done?
Right.
It's like everything's been done and we always say maybe. There's no new ideas. Well,
maybe we got to stretch
everybody a little bit
wants change. Why not vote for Donald Trump? Everybody wants the change.
And I'm just seeing like, you know, not to sound like Grandpa McDowell, but so like I've been, I work sometimes with younger people than myself, and the generation kind of behind us, it's that Brooklyn kind of aesthetic where it's just anything goes. Colors don't have to match. You can pair different patterns. It doesn't really matter so much anymore. And I think that is going from kind of just a lifestyle and a fashion choice, and it's becoming more mainstream into everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. Madison Avenue is taking account of it now, you know, so.
You said advertise. Yeah, it's in advertising, even just down to sculpture. I know we have an IKEA that reopened in the area, and apparently they put up this weird statue in their front, and they're not going to say anything about what it is until the grand opening day, and it's funny. So much buzz.
But that just begs curiosity. Is it their mascot? That's very smart.
The Allen Wrench mascot?
No. In fact, it's very similar to the one you were talking about. I only saw it briefly on the news, but it kind of reminds me of what this guy, what was his name? Jonathan?
Jonathan Adler.
Yep.
Yeah. I got it. If listeners, if you need something to watch, you got to watch that guy's keynote on Adobe Live.
Oh my gosh. That
was, it was great.
He was so good. Honestly. He was so honestly good. And he'll make you think that, God, even if you think a little weird because you're creative, it's good.
So many individuals, well, and it did not feel that way.
Well worth it. Well worth it.
He has the best tagline I've ever heard for, because if anyone who's listening who doesn't know Jonathan Adler, he's most known for kind of home decor stuff, interior design.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's got a whole line, the high-end stuff he sells, and it's very
quirky.
A lot
of pottery. Yeah.
Yeah. And the tagline for his company that he has is, if your heirs won't fight over it, we won't make it, which I thought was great.
Oh, hilarious. God. Yeah. No, and he just, honestly just goes for it, too. And I love how transparent he is about discussing his failed background, you know?
Totally. Man,
I mean, like, quoted, failed back. Because come on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw a great quote the other day that reminded me of his. It was be better, not bitter. And it's so true because it's like he went through so many just like tried. But you can tell this guy did not build his company or his empire to make money. He did it because it was truly something he wanted to do. You know?
Yeah. He's just a beautiful character. I have a crush on a homosexual for sure. I love him. I truly do love him. Okay, so this really next one that I've got that I want to discuss is called the glitch effect. And it sort of enables still design to at times seem illusional and in motion, like that old television tube style, right? So these designs are, they look corrupted, digitally corrupted. The imagery, you know, like, you know, where half of the face is going to the left and the bottom of the face is going to the right with neon colors and shit. It's cool.
Love it. It's and you so described cool. it very well.
Okay, I'm glad I did.
Get into this one.
I like this one, too.
I love it.
So this was maybe once annoying for the spectator, but is now turned into something like a truly wanted effect. It's so interesting. I'm not a horror movie fan, but I think obviously this would be familiar to horror movie fans with this one for, you know, ages. It's been around in that sense. But now you're seeing it applied well beyond horror, right?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, yeah. I mean, you're seeing it like, it's very tech too, I think, in a way, and it's very futuristic. It's very like, I think it's the irregularity of it is what's great too, is like not everything should be super polished and super crisp. There might be a need for this, even in a brand or a logo, to be a little bit, you could even look at something
and
that's eroded or
distressed.
I've
seen people heading that direction, but then polishing other components to the design. And that doesn't look right. You got to go all in with one or the other. Yeah, I've seen that in some cases. And I could maybe pull some examples of that. But with respect to the mishmash that we were saying earlier, anything goes, maybe it is okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it seems like a natural progression of the – because, like, think about everything we've been seeing. Like, what is an Instagram filter if it's not ultimately just a degradation of a photo?
Yeah.
It gives it a warmth, but it's a degradation nonetheless. So this seems like it's taking it a step further, so it's more a degradation of motion, of movement, of, like, video rather than just degradation of an old photo. So
of
seems
something
like it's
crazy still.
Carrying on
well,
the
it
tradition,
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's kind of an interesting one. Do you feel like that's...
I've even seen it offsetted. Like, you know, like, even look at your the poster that you got in the back, where the fill and the line are basically off register or something, where they're a little distorted and unique too. And there's peaks of, like, empty color. Like, that irregularity if it works with what you're trying to say, that's a way to get the personality out. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. And it, if this is done right, it captures attention like crazy. That's successful.
Yes.
Do you feel like that's enough coverage? Should I go on to my third?
Yeah, it's good.
Go for it.
Okay. Okay. So this third one, typography is real life.
Intrigued.
Oh, okay. Yay. So this is actually a super modern approach. It's when typography tightly interacts with real life elements, most oftentimes models. So
and life size,
as big as the bottles.
Yeah.
Bodies, yes. So, within the composition, of course. So its achieved effect is letters turned into real objects. And so this is oftentimes commonly found with models with arms or portion of the head figure wrapped with the type character.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, kind of enveloped.
Yeah.
Yes.
Point of clarification I want to ask, I understand what you're talking about, that it's like, it's as if the type is existing in real space, but is it also, does it also mean, or I guess it could mean that it, the letter itself is kind of made of something. Like I'm picturing something I've seen where like the letters are like made of grass or something. Is that, that's not necessarily what you mean. You just mean it's...
No, straight up, like, imagine black or white with the models only.
Cool.
In a studio space, for example. And oftentimes, I mean, there's distinction enough because it is in a solid fill color, the typeface, right?
Yeah.
But they put drop shadowing on the floor that's at the same plane as the individual. So there's that lifelike approach even still.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Or was, like backdrop shadowing or,
Yeah. This reminds me of a movie that came out, talking about horror movies. There was one that came out last year called The Final Girls. Did you guys see that?
No.
Basically the premise is like this girl's mom was like a big horror star in the 70s. And she starred in like a Friday the 13th type camp stabathon movie.
Yeah,
and she and the girl kind of gets sucked into the movie, so she's like living inside the movie. But in the beginning, like when she's supposed to be in the quote beginning credits, like that type is actually like getting in her way. Like she has to step over the type. So it makes me think of that.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, that's definitely along the lines of this third one I'm discussing for sure.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I like that interaction of it. I've seen where it's almost really beautiful typography intertwining with a body, and it becomes a way of like you're saying, bringing life to whatever copy or headline or that whatever it's saying. That fluidity in there
works really well with those that are not long, you know.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Cool.
Cool.
I love it.
All right. So my first one to talk about is called duotone and double exposure. So. I think if you're a Spotify user, that's probably where you'll know this best. So it's basically a photograph that's been, there's two different things here. There's duotone and double exposure. They're kind of separate elements, but they can go together. I'll just talk about duotone. So it's a black and white photo where, picture the black and the grays are like one, like a darker version of a color, and then the white is like a lighter version of the color. So it can be two colors together. So it's like, imagine the lighter color is like shades of yellow and the darker color is shades of like a purple or something. And they kind of go together. So it's not black and white. It's now yellow and purple, but different shades going in between. So it's hard to explain, but we'll try to send.
No, I'm seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I think Spotify is a perfect example.
Yeah, yeah. It is.
Been seeing that a lot.
It's a pretty cool look, actually, and I'm sure it's an easy thing to do with Photoshop. But and then double exposure is, I think, you can buy like plugins for Photoshop that does this. And remember when we were at Adobe Max, there was actually a booth there that was doing this. Like you could have your headshot taken, and they were going to do a double exposure. So it's like,
yeah.
It's basically picture someone takes a headshot of you, but then they also impose they take a landscape of like a mountain or something to where the mountain is showing through in the darker spots. It's like a black and white photo of you, and then the mountain is kind of showing through in the darker spots. Hard to explain. and I'm not doing a good job of it.
But, you know who did a great job of it? Believe it or not, I think it was a commercial where nature and profiles of people, like it was a profile of a woman, and a straight on, and then environment like mountains and sky kind of went in and out of the shadows of her, with like masks. I want to believe it was a freaking air freshener commercial. I can't remember what it was.
Could have been,
but I love that. It's very mystique-ish, like, I don't know how you would describe it.
It definitely has an air of mystery to it, and it kind of makes you take a second look, like, you know, and it does.
If you're
going to
do an album cover for a DJ, you would do that.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
That would be one application for it, for sure. So then the next one I want to talk about is just creative background patterns. So, basically, we're coming out of an era where everything was kind of really flat. Everything was kind of minimal. But now there's a little bit of kind of whimsy coming back into design, I would say. Some kind of friskiness. So imagine,
welcome back, whimsy.
Exactly. Welcome back. We missed
welcome
you.
Welcome back, whimsy.
So imagine like
such a t-shirt.
You know, like a homepage on a website with a nice hero image of maybe it's a model. But in back of her, rather than just being like a gradient or even like a photographic background, imagine just a really colorful, flat pattern behind her. It's kind of reminiscent of wallpaper. You know how wallpaper made that was really popular back in the day in the 70s, and then it went away for a long time, and now it's kind of back, more geometric. Patterns are really popular.
Even 3D wallpaper, too. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
With a little relief.
So think of like that. It's basically, it's a photographic element in the foreground with just a very playful 2D element as a background. Usually it's very colorful, creative.
Yeah.
And there's also a lot of like 90s kind of patterns influence with this, too. Think pastel colors, just kind of squiggly shapes like that Saved by the Bell. Kind of look.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
It's all over the place.
That came up the other day and I said, oh my God, if that's not Saved by the Bell, I don't know what is. It's the perfect example of 90s bad graphics.
That's cool.
Well, here's the thing though. But back in the 90s, I don't remember it being very pastel. It was much more kind of bright colors.
No.
But
neon.
Now,
like neon.
Yeah. But now we're seeing those same kind of patterns with that pastel. And I think
we call it dusty. It's like dusty colors.
Yeah, dusty colors. Mm-hmm. And I think we can kind of thank last year's Pantone winner, Rose Quartz or something.
And now it's violet.
Ultraviolet this year.
The rose. But you're right, that rose kind of goldish quartz thing set off.
With like
a
baby
trend.
Blue with it. Like
Yeah.
So anyway, it's cool to kind of mix that with something photographic in the foreground.
Cool.
And we're seeing a lot of that. Cool. And then the last one I want to talk about is it's simple. It's just bright gradients. And I think what we can maybe thank for this is those Facebook posts. You know how when you
I've seen. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how this past year, when you post something short on Facebook, it'll want to put it'll give you an opportunity to choose like a little gradient background to go behind it. I think that's where we first started seeing this, and I think that's why it's becoming very popular again, or for the first time. So, you know, just
I would even say Spotify has that too a little bit in there. They use the gradients, which are these very bright and vivid ones, similar to what you were saying. Those when you make a short post on Facebook, and boy, they do get your attention. There's a reason Facebook is doing that. They I think they realize people are just scrolling by so fast and. Got to stop them every once in a while in their tracks, and that works.
Yeah, and a nice bright color is great, but two bright colors are better. So let's blend them into a gradient.
Killer.
If you never listen to any other designer advice other than that, that's all you need.
The poor gradient tool in Photoshop and Illustrator is going, God dang it, quit it with this thing.
The more bright colors throw in there, the better.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's so great. These are the things we've been seeing the most, and next episode we're going to talk about web design trends, which I'm excited about because it gets to be a little I feel like it's a little more applicable when we start getting into that, because it can be stuff that's good for functionality as well. So
for sure.
Yeah. Look forward to that on our next episode. And before that, we have a listener question. But first, let's talk about FreshBooks, baby. How much do you guys love FreshBooks before I get into this?
I love FreshBooks.
Yeah. It's so easy to get
started. I consider FreshBooks my first employee. It was my first employee.
Wow.
Really?
You know what?
It's
me
like
too.
Your book. It's your bookkeeper. It's your,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's your, wake right. up in the middle of the night and like, who's going to answer that question of finances? FreshBooks. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And they're also like your hired goon to go out and collect in debt.
Yeah.
They've been working overtime for me lately.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's like, end of the year. I don't know what it is, but it's the best way to get in touch with them without it being from you. It's
exactly.
Fantastic.
You get to seem like you're not really in on the action, and they just send the emails for you. So
yeah,
they've been completely redesigned, custom built for the way that we as designers work. You know, just the best thing ever is you can create and send these really professional looking invoices in under 30 seconds. Because who wants to spend all day doing it, right? You get in, you log in, you pick the client, you put in the dollar amount, it sends it, boom, you're paid within one day in 60% of the cases. And the new projects feature lets you share messages and files. So it's basically an invoicing and a project management tool all in one, which is amazing. And you know, the new notification center is like your personal assistant. So you'll always know what's changed in your business since you last logged in and what needs to be dealt with ASAP, like overdue invoices. So you can handle those. And they've got great support. We know that. They usually answer in 3 rings or less. For Mikkel, 0 rings. They just know she's there.
She just double taps her headphone and it's like, boom, exactly. They're on the line.
Yeah.
Hotline.
Oh, I wish they liked me as much as I like them.
So as a holiday gift to you, our listener, we've worked out a 30-day unrestricted free trial with FreshBooks. Just go to freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic and enter Deeply Graphic Design in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, freshbooks.com/deeplygraphic. And then enter Deeply Graphic Design when they ask for that. All right. So we've got a listener question. This one comes to us from Carrie. And he says, do you want to read this one, Nick? Do you have it? Or?
Yeah, let's okay. see. Wes, there we go. Perfect. You said it's from Carrie, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And Carrie
hey
is
guys,
a guy.
I'm in. This is true. So it's Carrie with a K.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I'm a lead in-house designer for a large corporation, and I'm running into a recurring problem. I have been leading our company's branding and design efforts for 4 years and have built what I believe to be a solid record of work. However, the CEO of my company sends my work to agencies for feedback. Oh, my blood's boiling already. Without my knowledge. And my direct boss does not stick up for the work I've done. It's incredibly frustrating to have an outside firm critique every project I work on, and it is all done behind the scenes without my knowledge until a packet of notes comes to my email. While I understand that this could be seen as creative direction, which is the backhanded compliment I receive from my boss, this makes my options feel undervalued.
My opinion.
My opinions feel undervalued and underappreciated. How do I address this? Is it worth fighting for? Wow.
Yeah.
Man, I've never heard of anything like this. And I'm sure it's not the first.
I haven't heard this exact situation, but I've definitely heard. So I used to work for an internet company where half the things would be done by our in-house team. And then a lot of things would be outsourced to a creative agency. Mm-hmm. So what I would say, first of all, my first advice to Carrie would be step back. Don't feel too it's not a personal attack on you in any way. What I would say, there's a few questions I would have, which is, does your CEO and your direct boss, are they designers or are they people who feel like they can't give proper feedback and they want so like it's almost like wanting kind of a second
opinion. It's an excuse.
Well, I don't know about it's an excuse. It's more like
You were right. The way you were saying it,
I just feel like if it's my company and I have a designer and I know nothing about design, am I qualified to make that call that yes, I'm going to sign off on this, or do I want someone who's I trust just to kind of give it a once over? That's how I took this.
I just think it's the way. I think you bring a really good point up, because that's very, there's some humility there that can be really actually kind of nice, knowing that you don't know the industry best and you know of some other consultants out there that do. Why not run it by them? But it's the behind the back approach that is not respectful. If you copy, if that individual is letting Carrie know ahead of time, listen, I'm going to be copying you on some emails of the of respective individuals that I've worked with for a while. And just to gain their opinion, I hope you don't mind. Feel free to input, you know, reply all and be a part of the email chain. That would be, that's, there's no problem there. But it's, it's the fact that it's coming coming back to him in a roundabout way where he's like, oh, what the fuck? Why? Yeah. How come I didn't know about this?
And probably found out via accident or didn't.
Yeah.
Who knows how you've, you know, which is bizarre.
Or sending feedback to Carrie from a forward from what he's received elsewhere.
Yeah. I my first impression was that this is a terrible boss. Honestly, if he has a problem with what you're doing, it's between you two. You're the lead in-house designer. But if he's not happy with it, there's a miscommunication there. They need to be talking more about what is good design for our company. We shouldn't have to be, if you want another agency, fire me and go there. This doesn't make sense to me. It's kind of like it's this guy not being a good leader. Now, I don't know I don't know if he directly reports to the CEO, but if the CEO has time to do this, this guy should not be a CEO.
Oh my gosh. I work with CEOs like this. I support
a CEO of a bigger company or even a medium-sized company
makes the time to be the know-it-all.
If he can't direct down what he needs to his design to be, and he's in the weeds and sending it to other places and spending this time not cultivating a better office and another another culture. No, I'm sorry. Carrie's totally legit here. And I even looked at your work, dude.
I checked out his website. Carrie, with confidence pack your bags and get the hell out of there.
But or if anything, try to salvage it. This might be a great job otherwise. So what I would say is say to him, hey, I feel as if, you know, you're not fully getting the designs I'm doing, and that concerns me. I would love to sit down and let's have a agreed upon direction for our company as far as the branding. What's the communication? Do all the discovery with him. This is your client. Think of him as your client. And if your client's not happy, you know, you got to, and then find out what's missing. Tell him, how can I get better? How can I do? Oh my gosh. If this guy is worth half of a CEO title, he will look at you and say, damn, I've got a winner here. Let's make this work. He should be spending his time on other crap. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. That's terrible. That's terrible. I'm glad you found out about it.
I agree. It's not typical under the purview of a CEO to really get in the weeds about design direction. But again, the way I looked at this, and I may be wrong, and I don't know all the situation, but I almost look at it as if the guy is using kind of a quote outsourced art director because they may not have an art director. I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think about it in my business. Like, if I hire someone to do something that I don't know much about, I feel like I might want to get someone to get eyes on it who knows how to, like, is this, I want
but
your opinion on this
years.
Because, yeah, I get it. I don't know. I don't think that it's an attack. I just think that you do need
I could see one time saying, man, I don't know about my guy. We're not jiving. Can you help? Yeah. And go to someone that's another industry person.
But I think you're thinking that it's that the boss is unhappy with the work. I don't think that's necessarily what's happening. I think he just wants to get
eyes on it. No, it's just obtaining feedback. Yeah.
Feedback. I think Nick, you're coming from a direction of
I don't think that's been understood. I don't think that's been understood. Yeah. I think that Nick and I are both just clearly mentioning that this guy has obviously chosen a route to send the feedback and include somebody outside of the corporation that is a disrespectful approach.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is absolutely reaching out to other third parties for this purpose if you know yourself not to have industry knowledge and art direction. But it's the way that he's going behind the back and pulling in the feedback and sending the forward. Yeah.
He says he's not sticking up for his work, so I'm assuming that means he's not happy with his work. Like, you know what I mean? And why would you go elsewhere? I think, you know, the goal of a good leader is to hire people that can do the job you can't do.
Yeah. Well, and that you've got their back.
But I know how that goes, too. Like, I've definitely been in that situation where you've got a higher-up boss who is not liking the work or asking questions about, okay, who signed off on this? And then your boss throwing you under the bus happens all the time. That is I'm not sticking up for that. It's shitty, but it happens all the time. People will always cover their own ass. So that's why this guy's not sticking up for it, because he wants to he doesn't want to put his neck on the line to say, no, I stand by this design, when this CEO has gotten clear feedback from a third party that he's paid for. So it's corporate America at its worst, really. I mean, it's just...
Also, too, like, when, you know, we talked to a bunch of people at Max, and most of the people we were talking to are one-man shows, one-woman shows at a small company or maybe a medium-sized company. And
the air freshener lady.
To your point. To your point, maybe a mid-level designer who's not an art director, who's not a creative director, in most cases is reporting to maybe a CEO. There's no one in between.
Or a non-creative person.
And that too, in addition to that, the degree of separation, also not being a creative person, I can understand why this guy has done this. But what he should do and what Carrie should do is take the lead on this and be the proactive guy and go to him and say, I'm not feeling we're jiving here. What can we do to be on better terms and have a rules? You got to have your like 10 commandments of the brand. And if you stick to those and you agree on those first, just like we do with our clients, you should be in line. I really think hopefully then it should be no surprise and he can go on and lead the company and you know, sign the checks and do the things he needs to do.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Do the CEO things like getting his monocle polished and such nonsense.
trading in for his new BMW. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Buying and selling stocks. You know. All right. So
I want to say to Carrie, thanks for sending this. This is such a great... I'm glad that hopefully we could help you on this, man. Because we've all been there, you know?
Exactly. So
it's frustrating. It's hard to not take it personally.
Yeah. And it's hard to even answer without knowing all the details, but hopefully that was helpful. And keep sending in those listener questions to questions@thedeependdesign.com. And you know, we love the audio ones. And again, calling back from the beginning, if you are any kind of a WordPress customizing type web designer, if you know Beaver Builder, any of that kind of stuff, I can definitely use you for certain clients and recommendations. So please send over your some work and our typical price range for a job like that. And just include in the email subject line design support, and I will review it personally and get back to you. So, all right. With that in mind, keep designing and catch us next time on the Deeply Graphic Design Cast.